All right, it is the divisional round whip around. We throughout the season, we pick highlights off of the highlight tree and hit about five or six games that were of great importance or intrigue to the folks here in the city of Houston. Unfortunately, there are no games directly involving teams from the city of Houston anymore. However, the playoffs are here, the divisional round. And we'll take a spin around these divisional round games, and this gives us a chance, Rich, to share brief, quick-hit thoughts on each of these games.
Let's do it.
So let's start it here, and the whip around is brought to you each and every week by the good folks at Blue Chew. You just heard me talking about Blue Chew. It works. BlueChew.com, promo code 610, first shipment free, just pay $5 shipping. So let's go in chronological order here. The Indianapolis Colts came into Houston last week and gave the Texans the what for. Beat them 21-7. Sent the Texans home with a lot to think about in the offseason and sent us into this past weekend thinking, hey, this Colts team might be able to pull off the upset.
Well, now the Texans have more to think about,
Sean. Even more, and do the as do the Colts, apparently, because they went into Kansas City and the message was sent early that it was going to be a long day.
Mahomes takes the snap from under center. He's going to flip it to Tyreek Hill on the end around, coming right to left. Turns it up 35 to the 30. Far side 20. Down to the 15. Cuts back right 10. Inside the 5. Spinning into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Tyreek Hill with a 36-yard touchdown run. And the Chiefs have taken a 13-0 lead in the opening quarter.
All of this audio, I believe, courtesy of Westwood One on all four of these games.
Yeah, 24-7 by halftime.
24-7 at halftime. This game was never close. It never felt close. The Colts got the ball to start the game. Eric Ebron dropped a pass on 3rd and 5 that would have gotten them a first down. And it felt like it was all downhill from there. The Chiefs get off the field. That would be the theme throughout the day, Rich, on a day that was just a week removed. Almost a week exactly removed to like to the kickoff time removed from the Colts going 7 of 7 on 3rd down against the Texans to start that game. The Kansas City Chiefs pitched what, in my opinion, is the equivalent of a perfect game in football. Well, I guess not a perfect game because they gave up points. But when you prevent a team from converting a 3rd down the entire game,
you've dominated.
Assuming it's not one of these games where they just never got to 3rd down because they were tearing you up all day.
Your defense has dominated, which is not what you expect from this Kansas City Chiefs team.
No, but I think it sends a message that while play to play, this may not be a great defense. You know, they may be a defense that yards per play are giving up more than the average defense gives up. This is a defense that has guys who can make plays. Guys who can rush the passer. They're very good at getting after the passer. They're one of the best pass rushes in the league. They forced a lot of turnovers this year. And on Saturday, they were great situationally. Really, really good situationally.
You know what else you wouldn't expect going into that game? This is Adam Vinatieri's 23rd season in the NFL.
Oh, my God. That was sad to watch.
In his 23 seasons in the NFL, he has never missed a kick from 23 yards or closer.
Yeah.
Well, not only did he miss a field goal from 23, he missed an extra point. Had he made those two kicks, Colts could have been made it interesting by keeping it to a one-score game late in the going.
They could have. That field goal, it felt like whatever wind was left in their sails was done. When he boinked that 23-yarder off the upright, they were toast. So we move on to Saturday night. Significantly better weather in Los Angeles than there was in Kansas City. The Cowboys searching for an upset in L.A., unfortunately, they could not shut down the Rams' running game.
Gurley gets the carry, bursts up the middle at the 30-yard line, turns left to the 20, and turns on the speed at the 10, across the 5, and he shrugs off a tackle from Awuzie into the end zone for the touchdown. Todd Gurley, 35 yards. The knee looking just fine as the Rams take a 19-7 lead.
The scary thing about this for, I'm not going to say for the rest of the league, the only part of the league that matters now.
Yeah.
Are the Saints and whoever would be in the Super Bowl waiting for the Rams. So these three other teams, if you're concerned about the Rams, is not only is Todd Gurley healthy again, clearly 16 carries for a buck 15, but 16 carries for a buck 15 wasn't even good enough to be the leading rusher. CJ Anderson, who they pulled out of a Golden Corral somewhere, it looked like, he is chunky. The C stands for chunky. He's Chunky Joe Anderson
He's
is what he is.
He's effectively chunky.
He is effectively chunky. 23 carries, buck 23, two tough touchdowns down near the goal line for C.J. Anderson, who they picked up like 3 weeks ago off waivers.
It was demoralizing. And again, I'm not a Cowboy fan. Quite the contrary. I'm a Cowboy hater.
I was
hater.
On Saturday night. Boy, I had to shower after Saturday. But rooting for the Colts and the Cowboys on the same day.
I did pick the Cowboys to pull the upset and win this game. Yeah. Didn't feel good about it, but that was my official
You like being right.
pick.
Yeah.
And it was just demoralizing is the best word I can come up with, the way the Rams just ran it down their throats to the tune of 273 yards rushing in that game. Absolutely incredible what they did to dominate time of possession. And I felt like the far be it from me to think the Cowboys are getting the short end of the stick, but I've never seen a quarterback whistle dead in the grasp of his own teammate.
That was funny. That could have been all due respect.
Lyle Collins effectively sacked Dak Prescott in that game.
He was in the grasp.
To kill a potential scoring drive when the Cowboys were trying to keep that thing within arm's length.
It was obviously a bad call. He wasn't calling Dak Prescott in the grasp of his own guy. That was a bad call.
Right, but the whistle blew because he was in someone's grasp.
But it was like that Deshaun play. I forget what game it was. It was a road game. I forget which game. It was the Jets game, I think. Remember early in that game, Deshaun got grasped in the pocket?
Yeah, right.
And he was able to shake free, and they're like, no, sorry, you were in the grasp, or forward progress was stopped, whatever.
Right.
It was a bad call, just like that. The Rams did something in that game that I think, if you're the Rams, this is your goal, is to, I get it, like Jared Goff is fine as a quarterback. He ain't on the level of the other three guys left in this postseason.
They didn't ask him to win that game.
He didn't have to do anything. The long completion for the Rams in that game was Brandon Cooks, a 21-yarder, was a catch and run.
Once again, like the first game we just talked about, an unexpectedly really stout effort from the defense of the winning team. Hey, Colts went 0-for-9 on third down. Cowboys went 1-for-10.
Yeah, it was a good night for the home teams, and then the next day, it was a good afternoon for the home teams. The Chargers visited New England, and they got a lot of this guy.
Brady under center. Brady on a give. Michelle slicing up the middle. Michelle, spin move into the end zone. Touchdown! The hat trick for Sony Michelle, and the route is on in Foxborough.
Three touchdowns for Sony Michelle, the first-round pick out of Georgia, 24 carries, 129. Tom Brady was fantastic, 34 of 44 for 343. Didn't have to throw the ball very far down the field. It was a little like the Jared Goff thing, except it's Tom Brady, so we know he's able to throw the ball down the field. But they just sliced and diced this Charger defense with a bunch of little dink and dunk short passing game stuff.
35-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
I mean, there was really no reason to watch the second half of that game. And
James White, 15 catches, 97 yards.
Pretty amazing. We talked about what the weapon he would be in the passing game leading into that game. Jim Nance and Tony Romo trying to think of things to say during the second half was about as challenging a task for broadcasters as I've ever come across. And by the way, speaking of halftime, Sean, stat of the day. I maybe stat of the postseason to this point. When it was 35-7 at halftime, the Patriots had 23 first downs. The Chargers had run 23 plays.
Yeah. I mean, it was surgical, man. It was surgical. And kudos to Julian Edelman, who was awesome. Yeah. He was great. Run after the catch, breaking tackles, getting key first downs.
And Phillip Rivers looked very discombobulated. Those delay of game penalties.
I want to talk about him in the next segment with you. I may be coming around on something you've been espousing for years. But we'll get to that in the next segment. One final game to get to. This was the closest game of the four. The Saints sealing the deal, if you will, with this play.
Foles gets the ball. Quick slant. Oh, it's through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey and picked up on the ricochet by Lattimore. He intercepts the ball, 25-30, comes to the near side, 35. It's an interception. It goes right through the hands of Jeffrey. The Saints have intercepted on the ricochet.
Saints win the game 20-14. Rich, I don't know where you're at on this. Philly had the ball. I'm not sure exactly where they were on the field. Somewhere around midfield where they threw that interception. I'd have to go look to see exactly where they were on the field for that play. But they had a 1st and 10 on the play before that. They handed the ball off, and they kind of ran it into the line. And there's about 20 seconds left before the 2-minute warning. And at first I'm going, it seems like an odd play call. You're moving the ball through the air with Foles. Why are you running the ball there? But then I'm looking, I'm going, okay, if their goal here was to just burn some clock and get to the 2-minute warning, because I think at that point where you are on the field, you have two timeouts, You're more worried about leaving time for the Saints than you are having enough time to score a touchdown. I'm going, okay, well, that makes sense. This is a way that you burn a down. It's second and nine. You shave 20 seconds off the clock. Now you've got the two-minute warning to gather yourself, pick out a few plays that are good plays for you there. That play on the interception, they were rushing to run another play before the two-minute warning.
Right.
What were they doing?
I don't get it.
Doug Peterson, the supposed genius, there was 2:25 left, and they run Sproles for no gain at the New Orleans 27.
Yeah. No, listen, and we don't have enough time to get into it.
So they were in New Orleans territory at that point.
Yeah, we don't have enough time to talk about it here, but I want to talk about Doug Peterson's decision-making in that game and some other points in that game as well where I thought it was really kind of bad stuff.
Okay,